Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 7 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Police investigating a fatal shooting in East Wichita. We have the story.
Trump and Harris both campaigning in Nevada. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
A teenager is dead and another in critical condition after a shooting in East Wichita last night near a Quick Trip at Central and Oliver. A 14-year-old boy and a 15-year-old boy showed up at a hospital with gunshot wounds. The younger boy died and the 15-year-old is in critical condition. Police Captain Chad Beard.
Officers encountered, again, numerous individuals that were uncooperative. There were several arrests made that were unrelated to the shooting itself, but in attempt to contain the scene, that officers had to make arrests.
Police are still looking for the shooter.
Vice President Kamala Harris continued her Southwest Battleground tour yesterday, holding a rally in Las Vegas. Harris highlighting former President Trump's role in reversing Roe v. Wade, leading to abortion bans in 21 states.
When Donald Trump was president, he hand-selected three members of the United States Supreme Court with the intention that they would undo the protections of Roe v. Wade. They did as he intended, and now in America, one in three women lives in a state with a Trump abortion ban.
Abortion remains one of the top three issues for voters during this election.
Former President Trump traveled to Henderson, Nevada Thursday. Days away from the election, the Republican presidential nominee tells voters his opponent will tank the nation's economy.
If she gets four more years, Kamala Harris will pick your pockets bare. We will not have a country. Everyone will flee. Our companies are going to flee.
One person is in custody after a brief chase ended in a crash in East Wichita last night. Highway patrol troopers stopped a vehicle for a routine traffic check. The vehicle fled before troopers even made contact with the driver. And that car crashed on Rock Road after exiting from Kellogg. Car colliding with two other vehicles and a power box before the suspect fled on foot. A trooper apprehended the suspect at gunpoint. 1,000 Evergy customers were without power for a time in East Wichita.
Charges have been filed against the woman accused of crashing into and killing a Hutchinson woman while attempting to get away from police. 24-year-old Caitlin Barrios faces multiple charges, including first-degree murder in the death of 43-year-old Mandy Buckwalter. Wichita Police Chief Joe Sullivan says it began as a stolen vehicle investigation and officers were not chasing Barrios at the time of the crash.
We do not pursue simply for stolen vehicle, which is why they were using alternative methods like spike strips, undercover vehicles, surveillance, the air support.
Bond was set at $1.2 million.
A Pentagon watchdog says Boeing overcharged the Air Force nearly $1 million for spare parts on C-17 cargo planes.
The Pentagon's inspector general reviewed prices paid for 46 spare parts on the C-17 from 2018 to 2022. One of the most egregious items, soap dispensers, the watchdog says Boeing marked them up by nearly 8,000%. Some media reports say the Air Force overpaid nearly $150,000 for the soap dispensers. The IG's office says it found a total of 12 overpriced items. 9 seemed reasonably priced, but they couldn't determine the fairness of the prices of the other 25 items. The C-17 Globemaster is one of the military's largest cargo aircraft. It can carry multiple military vehicles or hundreds of people. Chris DeMeo, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 7:03, 3 minutes past 7 o'clock.
At college football tomorrow, 15th-ranked Kansas State heading on the road down to Texas for a road game in Houston. We'll talk about that coming up in sports.
The election could go well past Election Day, especially in the race for control of Congress. That story and more just ahead on the KNSS Morning News.
WTSS, Wichita's number one talk.
The KNSS Morning News, 7:07. 7 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday morning. Crews are searching for bodies in stranded cars and sodden buildings as residents salvage what they can from ruined homes following monstrous flash floods in Spain that claimed at least 158 lives, with 155 people killed in one region alone. The death toll could rise more as the search efforts continue today.
This year's election could go well past Election Day on Tuesday, especially in the race for control of Congress.
It will no longer be Election Day when Alaska's polls close at midnight Eastern Time. And with Alaska's at-large race between frontrunners Democratic Congresswoman Mary Peltola and Nick Begich possibly deciding control of the House, Begich tells Fox News Radio to be ready for a number of scenarios.
We've seen data that shows that it may not be a long, drawn-out process. We've seen other data that says, you know, this can take a couple of weeks.
States like California, Arizona, and Nevada were counting ballots well past Election Day in 2022, and those states have races key to control of the presidency, Senate, and House. In Washington, Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
A man convicted of killing more than 100 eagles is getting prison time.
Travis Branson of Washington State pleaded guilty in March to killing 118 eagles as part of a wildlife trafficking ring that operated on a Native American reservation in Montana for over a decade. He was sentenced to nearly 4 years behind bars and fined $777,000. Prosecutors say the trafficking ring sold eagle feathers and other parts on the black market to tribal members who used them for ceremonies. Prosecutors believe the ring is responsible for the deaths of 3,600 birds overall on the Flathead Indian Reservation. Tom Rigotti, Fox News.
A squirrel with tens of thousands of social media followers is seized by New York authorities.
A New York man is pleading with the State Department of Environmental Conservation to return his pet squirrel named Peanut. Mark Longo says he began taking care of the animal 7 years ago when it was just a baby. Peanut's mother was killed by a car. Longo and his now Instagram-famous squirrel amassed hundreds of thousands of followers over the years, but some complained about the potential for the unsafe housing of wildlife. Longo says six officers raided his farm in rural Pine City Wednesday. A DEC spokesperson did not respond to a question over whether Peanut has since been euthanized. Tom Graham, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now.
Oh, my Lord.
The fate of Peanut.
That's awful.
KNSS News Time now, 7:10, 10 minutes past 7 o'clock.
We have a traffic accident southbound on I-135. You can see this on the Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras. This traffic accident is backing up traffic. It's just a little ways north of 53rd Street North. And if you're looking in that Park City area, North Broadway there, north and southbound, north 53rd Street North, also running very slowly right now. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jad Chambers.
You remember who had his pet squirrel? Uncle Billy.
Yeah, and it's a wonderful life. Yeah.
He had a pet squirrel.
Yeah.
All right, it's time for the KNSS Storm Tracker 3 forecast with Kansas Today meteorologist Ronnell Williams. Good morning, Ronnell.
Good morning, Steve and Ted. How are we doing?
Good.
Happy November.
Happy November. Yeah.
Yeah, that's, you know what? Yeah, that's right. And, you know, it's definitely going to feel like it for the first few days of November. But, Steve, Ted, before we get into the forecast, you know, just got to say one thing. Justice for Peanut. Okay.
Peanut, exactly.
Now that we got that out of the way.
Yeah. I'm having the T-shirts printed up.
I'll do the bumper stickers. All right.
I'll do the hoodies.
It's November
after all, right? And we got some chilly mornings on the way, followed by some mild afternoons. We'll have to dodge some rainfall, too, over the weekend and into the start of next week. So, in the meantime, we are going to be dry today. Mostly sunny skies, turning partly cloudy late in the day, closer towards sunset. 67 degrees for a high, milder than yesterday when we only got up to 60 degrees. Thanks to a southeast breeze at 10 to 20 miles an hour, that's what's going to help our afternoon today be a little bit more on the milder side. Not going to be too gusty, though. Now we'll jump into a 50% chance of showers and storms by late tonight, and then more of a likelihood by tomorrow. We're looking at a 90% chance for our Saturday. It looks like it's going to rain throughout much of the day tomorrow. High of 64 degrees, still fairly close to average when it comes to our highs, even though it's going to be just a few degrees cooler than today. And then Sunday, another 90% chance of showers and storms, expecting rainfall throughout much of the day. Difference tomorrow is, though, it's going to be a little bit warmer, high of 70, and we're looking at the potential of seeing a couple of strong to severe storms, especially during our afternoon and evening hours. So I've been battling this cough. All right. Where was I? Sunday. All right. Yeah, I got to watch out for the potential of seeing a strong to severe storm when it comes to our afternoon and evening hours. By the time we get into Monday, showers, thunderstorms likely going to linger through the day. Now, there's going to be a front that's going to be coming through at the same time, cooling us down to 67 Monday and then 58 degrees on Tuesday. Rain chances Tuesday don't look as good once that front pushes all the way through. And then it's going to be completely dry Wednesday with a high of 60. But we may see more clouds and possibly a small chance of rain return to the area by then. Right now, we're at 45 degrees. Skies not yielding much cloud cover. We're looking at fair conditions right now with a light southeast breeze at 9 miles an hour. Steve, Ted, did you guys have like a money jar going to see how long it would take for me to cough?
I'm ready. Fair play for peanut is what we're going to call it. Yeah. Fair play for FFP.
No, we get the coughs sometimes too, Ron L.
Yeah, so, hey, yeah, listen. No,
don't worry about it.
Yeah, if you don't have control over your microphone, you're stuck. And by the way, I've been noticing the last couple of days that you've got a little nasalness going there. Have you got something?
Yeah, it's...
You getting sick?
Well, we know I'm not the only one. I think it's just the change of the season.
Yeah,
you know,
be.
We're going from, you know, the 90s, just like a month ago, which is when I first started getting like this. And then we were, you know, we dropped below freezing. What was that? A couple of weeks ago.
Right.
Now we're back up to near 70 later on today. So it's just, you know, just the weather whiplash is, you know, hitting me a little hard. But Steve, Ted, we know I'm not the only one. For those of you who have been suffering allergies, the season change, our day is coming where we'll get better soon. And also, real quick, Steve, Ted, sorry to be rambling on, but very important, last thing I want to tell you guys and everybody else, the time change this weekend.
Yes.
Don't forget about that.
Right.
Yeah, we go back an hour late Saturday night.
All right. Thank you, Ron L. Take care of yourself. The KSN Storm Tracker 3 forecast. With Kansas Today meteorologist Ron L. Williams. Yes, we're going to fall backwards Saturday night.
Yeah, it'll be dark by about 5:15 on Sunday night.
This is the first day of November. On this date in 1982, the first Japanese car produced in the U.S. rolled off the assembly line at the Honda manufacturing plant in Marysville, Ohio. It was a Honda, 1982.
82?
Yeah. And they built that little tiny car for several years. And then the Civic got a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And 74, they came out with that model, and I had one of those as a company car. I'm a customer. I've had my family, and I've had several. And we like Hondas. But anyway, there you go. Commercial, free commercial. High yesterday in Wichita, 60 degrees, normal high 64. So let's see. On this date in 1870, technology took a big leap forward. Weather observations were taken that morning from 24 stations in the United States by the Army Signal Corps. The information was telegraphed to Washington, D.C., so a national map could be drawn. This was the first time that large-scale observations were taken simultaneously and plotted on a map.
Yeah.
And,
Ellis Pike was in charge of that.
Ellis Pike.
Wichita.
Well, probably wasn't Ellis, but...
Former cake weather guy from decades ago.
I was talking with the late weatherman on Channel 3. Anyway, he had a
story. I'm not sure who you're talking about.
He was a good personal friend, and I've lost his name. Okay. Anyway, he was saying how when he first started in TV weather, they had felt. You had a felt board.
Wow.
And you put these little clouds that were clouded, and you put that up there, like if you around a map.
Well, that's what you had to do then.
Yeah.
I remember when who was it? Schofield over at Channel 12?
Schofield, yeah.
Bob Schofield. Didn't he do the weather, and he was like using a chalkboard?
It could have.
He was kind of just drawing stuff on a USA map with chalk as we were going on.
They had a deal at one time at 12, before they got the new guy and the new owners. where Schofield did the whole thing.
Yeah, he was doing news, weather, and sports. Yeah. He did the whole half hour,
all by himself.
Apparently, that's a cost-saving trend that never picked up.
No,
you just don't see that. But, hey, here, Bob, the whole half hour is yours.
All right. Well, I got to confess that I made a mistake, and it was pointed out one of our listeners was talking about. We were talking about jerseys and T-shirts a while ago, and I talked about the basketball T-shirt from Augusta that somehow made its way into my locker when they were playing in our school at West. And I called them the Augusta Owls. Well, somebody called and said, we're not the Owls. It's the Augusta Orioles.
Yeah.
Well, I knew it was a bird, but so they got mixed up there.
You got the first letter right.
And how can I forget the name of Cecil Carrier?
Cecil Carrier.
That's who the weatherman was, the late Cecil Carrier. He was a friend of mine. I just lost his name for a minute. Anyway, it's
using that big felt weatherboard.
Yeah. Technology.
Yeah. And Steve, I didn't say anything because I kind of thought Owls was correct too. There is a local school whose mascot is the Owls. It's Garden Plain.
Garden Plain.
Okay.
Yeah. See, Ted knows.
And of course, three members of the conference the Shockers play in are all Owls.
Oh, you got some Owls there, huh?
Yeah, Rice and Florida Atlantic and Temple. All Shocker conference opponents, all the Owls.
Yeah. Must be pretty wise. All right, Steve and Ted. Well, their heads will go spinning clear around.
Yes, they will.
I've seen them do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
It's 7:18, Steve and Ted here on KNSS. It is sports time again. Here's Ted Woodward.
All right, the Kansas City Chiefs play on Monday night, so we'll focus on that on Monday. Arrowhead Stadium hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But we will have our usual Friday morning visit with the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs with a big preview with Mitch Holthus. Less than an hour from now at 8:12 this morning, be here for our weekly visit with Mitch. We'll relate this game to Shocker football and have all sorts of fun with Mitch coming up at 8:12 this morning right here on KNSS.
Yeah, he would know the mascot.
Oh, yeah.
Guaranteed.
I think he knows everyone in the entire state of Kansas. Yeah. No Jayhawks this weekend. KU has the week off for college football. So that leaves Kansas State. 15th-ranked Kansas State for the first time ever is playing a road game at Houston to take on the Cougars, a team they beat 41-0 in Manhattan last year. K-State's on a four-game winning streak right now. Wildcats are only a game out of first place in the Big 12 Conference. Of course, Houston does have a new coach, Willie Fritz. He was the head coach at Tulane when they went into Manhattan and beat K-State a couple of years ago. So, better prepare for Coach Fritz. K-State is a 13-point favorite going to Houston tomorrow. Live coverage of K-State football at 12:30 tomorrow afternoon. The game will kick off at 2:30 tomorrow afternoon in Houston. Listen to it. Listen to that game on your home of the Kansas State Wildcats, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. All right, some other football action. We take a look at JUCO football tomorrow. Of course, Butler Community College. Last week, they went on the road and beat number one team in the nation, beat number one ranked undefeated Hutchinson.
Yeah?
Well, guess what? Now Butler has to, again, this week, go on the road and take on the number one ranked team in the nation.
What a wonderful opportunity.
10th-ranked Butler visiting number one ranked Iowa Western. Butler has not lost a road game this season. Grizzlies are on a three-game winning streak. Dennis Higgins will have live coverage of Butler football at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, and that is live right here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Friends University is ranked 23rd in the nation. The Falcons are 7-1, hosting Bethel. Early kickoff, 11 o'clock tomorrow morning on the west side of town. Final home game of the regular season for 23rd-ranked Friends. College football tomorrow, you've got Emporia State ranked 11th in the nation, hosting Fort Hays State, 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon in Emporia. Hornets have won 9 straight home games. Got to keep an eye on Emporia State wide receiver, the graduate student out of Hayesville, out of Campus High, Tyler Common. Number one in the nation in touchdown receptions and total receptions. Great wide receiver for Emporia State.
Yeah,
best in the nation.
Yeah.
11th ranked Emporia State hosting Fort Hays State tomorrow afternoon. And how about Pittsburgh State? Ranked number one in the nation by D2Football.com, one of the two major polls. Pittsburgh State hosting Central Missouri tomorrow afternoon in Pittsburgh. Gorillas and the Mules, 2:05 tomorrow afternoon. High school boys soccer. We had regional championship games all over the state last night. In Class 4A, winners advancing to state include Rose Hill with a record of 16-1, as well as Wichita Trinity Classical School of Wichita, and Berean Academy. In Class 5A, Mays South and Valley Center both win at home, and they advance to state. And in Class 6A, an All-City League matchup, we had a big one, an upset. Wichita East winning on the road at Southeast, undefeated Southeast. East wins it 2-1 in double overtime. Southeast's first loss of the season, and they're done. It's East that goes to state with that win yesterday. So, interesting results in boys soccer in the regional championship there. Thursday night football in the pros last night. Well, the Vegas oddsmakers were right. Despite the five-game losing streak, the New York Jets win. They beat one of the top four teams in the league, the Houston Texans, 21-13. Starting at running back for the Jets, Breece Hall out of Wichita Northwest High School, 85 all-purpose yards. And starting at corner on defense for the Jets, DJ Reed out of Kansas State had five tackles, including a sack for an 8-yard loss. And the Jets back in the win column. College volleyball this weekend. Wichita State is home at Coke Arena on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock, hosting rival Tulsa. Both teams are tied for third place in the conference. That should be a really good match Sunday afternoon. Big hockey weekend for the Wichita Thunder downtown at Intrust Bank Arena. Wichita hosting the winless Rapid City Rush for three games in a row. Tonight, 7 o'clock. Tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock. Thunder's on a three-game winning streak right now. Tonight's game, free poster schedules. Tomorrow night's game, meet Blippi. The internet sensation will be on hand to meet fans. Blippi will be in the house tomorrow night in downtown Wichita.
Blippi.
Blippi. Yeah, pretty exciting.
I got to call the missus.
Yeah. You better get your tickets.
Yeah.
There you go. And that's sports with Steve and Ted.
723 now. Keep it here for a house call for health.
You seem to be overcome by Blippi's appearance in Wichita.
Oh, I can't wait. Sleep problems in your 40s could lead to memory problems later in life.
What?
Yes. That's coming up with Steve and Ted Morning here on KNSS.
Who am I?
Wichita's nationally recognized Marconi Awarded radio show. This is Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward, 7:30 on a Friday morning, 45 degrees. The presidential candidates spent Thursday out west, drumming up support going into the campaign's final weekend.
Former President Donald Trump strayed from the battlegrounds to rally in New Mexico, saying he's America's hope.
This is all you need to know. Kamala broke it, and I will fix it.
From there, he later rallied in Henderson, Nevada, near Las Vegas, where Vice President Kamala Harris held the Thursday event. Before that, she was in Phoenix to offer political change.
You give me the chance to fight on your behalf as president. There is nothing in the world that will stand in my way.
Common stops mark the next couple of days. Wisconsin today, North Carolina on Saturday. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
Two teenagers charged with the murder of an elderly woman in Augusta last year were in court yesterday. The 14-year-old girls appeared in juvenile court as the prosecution asked the judge to charge each girl as an adult for the killing on Labor Day weekend of 93-year-old Joanne Johnson last year. Yesterday's hearing was closed because of the age of the girls, both freshmen at Augusta High School. A status hearing will be held December 10th. In which the judge will decide if the girls will be tried as adults.
Murder charges have been filed against a woman police say stole a van and crashed it into another vehicle, resulting in the death of 43-year-old Mandy Buckwalter Monday. 24-year-old Caitlin Berrios faces multiple charges. Officers attempted to stop a stolen car outside a...
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Walmart at 29th and Rock Roads. Stop strips were used, but the car drove off after two of its tires were blown.
Wichita Police Chief Joe Sullivan says officers did not begin a chase as department policy prevents them from chasing stolen vehicles.
This person was not being pursued by police. They didn't need to drive this way. No one was pursuing them. They had no idea that there were air assets monitoring them. This was an intentional decision that was made to risk the life of any of those cars.
Bond was set at $1.2 million.
A new executive order in Texas takes effect today that requires hospitals to collect data on the number of undocumented migrants that use hospital services.
Governor Greg Abbott has said that due to the open border policies of the Biden-Harris administration, Texas has had to foot the bill for medical costs for people in the state illegally, and that Texas taxpayers shouldn't have to shoulder that burden. A spokeswoman with the Texas Hospital Association says no one's medical care will be impacted by the new data collection effort on citizenship status. It is not clear how much treatment for undocumented migrants has cost, but the Hospital Association has said that hospitals spend over $3 billion a year on uninsured care that is not reimbursed. A former policy advisor for Abbott told the Texas Tribune that they estimate 14% of the state's uninsured population are undocumented migrants. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
The Kansas Humane Society in Wichita looks after the care, sheltering, and adoption of animals. KNSS News asked Humane Society President and CEO Aaron Walker, which dog breed is most popular?
In Wichita, we see the most of either pit bulls or some sort of a pit mix. They're both very popular dogs. They're very loving dogs. And I don't know when it was in the last 15 years, but they just became sort of a dominant species in our area.
Aaron Walker is our guest this weekend on Issues 2024, Saturday and Sunday morning at 8 on KNSS. And KNSS News Time, 7:34. Let's take a look at the forecast with meteorologist Ron L. Williams.
Staying dry throughout much of our Friday. Mostly sunny skies is how we'll start, turning partly cloudy late in the day just before the sun goes down. Milder high of 67 degrees during the afternoon with a southeast breeze at 10 to 20 miles an hour. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ron L. Williams.
Now clear skies, southeast wind at 9 miles per hour. 45 degrees at KNSS with Steve and Ted in the morning. Hearing a lot about key swing states like Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Michigan. What do they mean? And which one of these races are the most important to follow? Because they will have an impact. Fox News Radio's Jeff Manasso with us this morning. Good morning, Jeff.
Morning to you. So, yeah, I mean, next Tuesday is more than just the presidency. It's also the balance of power in Congress. And so many races to count. But if we focus on what everybody else is focused on, it's the battleground states. I mean, that's where the battles are. We're looking at some really tough Senate races. Senator Tammy Baldwin in Wisconsin trying to seek her third term as a Republican challenger Eric Hovde closes in. The race now a toss-up. In Pennsylvania, Democratic Senator Bob Casey vying for his fourth term against Republican Dave McCormick, another now toss-up. Same dead heat situation playing out in Michigan. Three-term Democrat U.S. Rep. Alyssa Slotkin faces former U.S. Rep. Mike Rogers for that open U.S. Senate seat. We're also watching Ohio, where incumbent Senator Sherrod Brown is one of the most vulnerable Democrats on the ballot this year, second only to Montana Senator John Tester. Balance of power right now. Democrats lead Republicans 51-49. So every race is crucial in the House. 27 House races now considered toss-ups across the country in states like Michigan, Alaska, Arizona, California. About eight races in California are you know, we're seeing both parties dumping a lot of money into them because, you know, again, it could also help determine control. The 435-seat House, where Democrats seek to append the 220-212 GOP majority. In the state of Pennsylvania alone, $260 million has been spent just on the U.S. Senate race. So, you know, of course, there's governors and other state races, down ballot races that are equally as important and on the line because, you know, nowadays they seem to affect national issues. As of right now, nationwide, just shy of 64 million people have casted their early ballots.
And, you know, if we have the presidential, the candidates, of course, They promise a lot of things. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But like you're pointing out this morning, if you don't have the votes in the House and Senate, you're probably not going to do a whole heck of a lot.
Well, and you may get impeached depending on who controls the presidency and who controls Congress.
True. And then also the importance of the president and the Supreme Court. Anyway, that's a different story. All right. So we got all these. I don't see it midnight next Tuesday. I don't see any real winner in the presidential thing. I don't know about the rest of them.
We have plans to be on the air for our coverage. We're fanned out across the country and different places and with different campaigns. We're going to be up till 1 a.m. Eastern time. I think it's fair to say we'll probably be up a little bit later, and then in the coming days, into Wednesday, Thursday, maybe Friday, we will still be kind of where we are and try to sort it all out.
All right, Jeff. Hey, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. Fox News Radio's Jeff Manasso with us this morning, talking about those key swing states and the races in the House and the Senate. Wow, a lot to it, more than just the presidential race. Stephen Ted in the morning here on KNSS and Halloween night last night. Shelley and I, of course, we gave no indication we were even there. We went to bed, turned out the lights, and didn't have a trick-or-treater, didn't have the bell rung at all. But before we went to bed, I looked out and my neighbors to the west, Jennifer and Bob, were sitting in their driveway with one of those I call them flower pot fires going. What is that, a chimney? Is that what that thing is? Anyway, they had that going. They're both bundled up, and they were going to pass out treats. So I said, well, if any big kids come along, tell them not to ring our doorbell because there are crabby people living here. And they said they'd do that. If any kids came around, they got some treats there. Now, my daughter out in the west part of town, kind of surprised about this. She and one of the twins bundled up, and they got out in there and sat out there on the driveway and passed out treats. There wasn't much wind, but gosh, it was kind of chilly last night for that. Did you go trick-or-treating in your neighborhood, Ted?
I've never, ever sat in my driveway to give out candy.
You haven't?
You have to come ring the doorbell.
Yeah. That's the old-fashioned way.
Is that not done anymore?
Yeah, it is, but, you know, that's sort of kind of the fun when there was kids. You know, some kid would come to the door and you'd give them some grief. Well, what are you supposed to be? Oh, it's that. You're precious. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
A little interaction there. But see, I don't know. They had interaction. It just wasn't at the front door.
All right.
Yeah. They were outside. All right. Daylight savings time coming up this weekend, or going away, I guess. Changing the clocks, if you have that. And it's, if you don't have that, it's up to you. Oh, I wanted to mention this.
So you gain an hour, but it gets darker an hour earlier.
I wanted to mention this. Broadcasting legend Bob Costas has called his final MLB game, Major League Baseball. According to reports, Costas is retiring from baseball play-by-play after 42 seasons. Has it been that long? I remember when he started. He was just fuzzy-cheeked kid. 72-year-old broadcaster's TBS contract expired this season. The Athletic says he plans to publicly address his retirement at a later date. You know, after leaving school back in 1974, he joined KMOX Radio in St. Louis. And, of course, that's one of our Odyssey stations now. It wasn't then, but I visited KMOX this last summer. We went up there, and there's his photo up there on the wall. One of our guys.
Proud alum.
KMOX Radio in St. Louis is huge radio
station.
Cardinals station for years and years. Costas began his Major League Baseball career calling games for NBC in 1982.
Yep, that's where I first got exposed to him.
He did
the backup game with Tony Kubek.
Yeah, he was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in 2018 and joined the TBS crew in 2021. So apparently, he hasn't made it official, but apparently Bob Costas is going to retire at the age of, 72? I'm still a young man. Huh?
A good game called by Bob Costas.
Bob Costas,
he's a huge baseball
Loves
guy.
Baseball. Yep. You bet.
Yeah, he's got a great hockey story as well. If you ever want to look that up.
Yeah, he has a lot
up.
Of good stories.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll
fantastic.
Look
at
it.
7:42 now, Steve and Ted coming up. We've got the Wichita Business Journal update, and we'll have an update on Raising Cane's plan to locate in West Wichita. That's an eating place, by the way. That's on the way with Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS.
you deserve healthcare you can count on? Well, you can count on United Healthcare. With
Steve and Ted in the morning, KNSS 746 here on this Friday morning. Three big things. Shooting overnight in East Wichita, one teenager dead, another teenager critically injured.
Two.
Charges filed against a woman who rammed a stolen van into a car, killing the car's driver in East Wichita.
One.
Trump and Harris cross paths on the campaign trail again, this time in Nevada. Three big things, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
And things up in the Park City area where we had an accident just a little bit earlier have calmed down quite a bit. So traffic going through that area, rolling right along right now. Right now, the traffic volumes do seem to already be thinning out just a little bit. You want to watch for a bit of a slowdown. Northbound I-135, a stalled out vehicle right there on the ramp from Pawnee. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jad Chambers.
Sunny today with a high of 67 degrees. 70% chance for rain tonight. The overnight low 53. Saturday, 90% chance for rain. Tomorrow's high, 63 degrees. Now a clear sky. Southeast wind at 9 miles per hour. 45 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Weather is brought to you by the Monarch Whiskey Lovers. Go to the Monarch for nightcap specials every day. From 10 till midnight, get half-priced pints and $7 signature old fashions. The Monarch, West Douglas in historic Delano. 7:48 now, Steve and Ted, and Sunday night here on KNSS. It is the John Whitmer Show right here on KNSS. John will be with us Sunday night. Well, he's here with us this morning. Give us a little preview of what the show's going to be about this week. Good morning, John.
Yep, we'll be with you Sunday night, and then again the Tuesday evening for live election night coverage. So we've got a busy couple of days, and we're gonna have a huge show Sunday. We'll lead off with the last of our candidate profiles, have a conversation with Stephanie Wise, and then our 4th District Congressman Ron Estes will be with us in studio to kind of preview what he thinks is going to happen with the congressional and senatorial races. So we've got a little bit of election coverage for folks on Sunday as well.
And we were just talking with Fox News a minute ago, Jeff Manasso, talking about how important these House and Senate races are around the country. You know, the balance of power there in Congress is not to be forgotten. That's something else.
No, yeah, there's a really good chance, I think, in all likelihood, the Republicans will take control of the Senate. The question really remains is, can they maintain their House majority? And, we'll see. I have two other I'm amazed. We're just thrilled with the lineup that we've been able to get this week. Christopher Ruddy, who's the CEO of Newsmax TV, which is really moving up there. They're actually to the point now where they're starting to surpass CNN, but Ruddy is the CEO of Newsmax. He'll be on with us on Sunday. And then Dinesh D'Souza, who is a well-known documentarian and author, and we'll talk with both of them about the presidential election. We'll talk about, you know, President Biden calling Trump supporters garbage. And, of course, I'm sure we'll get election predictions from the both of them. So we've got a great show planned.
All right, John. John, that's Sunday night at 7 o'clock right here on KNSS, the John Whitmer Show. A reopened case involving the disappearance of two sisters who vanished in Virginia 5 decades ago.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. Federal investigators are combing the Virginia mountain woods linked to a cold case murder of two young sisters who vanished 5 decades ago. The Washington Post reporting the FBI and U.S. Marshals are back at Bedford County's Taylor's Mountain to search for clues following new evidence from a cold case, which they did not specify. But the area is linked to the 1975 murder of 10-year-old Catherine and 12-year-old Sheila Lyon. In 2015, Lloyd Welch Jr. admitted to helping his father and uncle kidnap the Lyon Ryan sisters while they were out in Montgomery County, Maryland to meet up with friends and told police he saw his father and uncle dismember one of the girls inside a dungeon-like basement and handed him the remains to dispose of. During his 2017 sentencing, Welch also pleaded guilty to two unrelated child sex assault cases. Investigators were never able to gather enough evidence to charge anyone else. The girls' bodies were never found. There's more on the story at FoxNews.com. Subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast with Emily Campagno. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
Big drops on Wall Street Thursday.
Stocks tumbling on this last day of trading for the month. Despite posting robust quarterly profits, Microsoft and Meta platform shares plunged and weighed on the major averages. It was a red October for the major averages, which are down for the month, snapping a five-month winning streak. Shares of Estee Lauder plunged over 20% for a 10-year low after the cosmetics company posted dismal financial results and another quarter of falling sales. The Dow winners, Amgen, IBM, and McDonald's. The Dow decliners, Microsoft, Amazon, and Salesforce. The Dow falling 378 points, the Nasdaq lower by 513, S&P 500 down 108. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
And local business news from the Wichita Business Journal. In recent years, we've seen several national food and beverage chains either land in Wichita or announce their intentions to come here. Most of that occurring this year, with Louisiana-based Raising Cane's making the biggest splash, noting plans to open its first local restaurant on the city's west side next year. This week, the fast-growing Chicken Finger chain shared a bit more detail on its timeline and confirmed that the location is 350 South Ridge Road. It's a former Pizza Hut Italian bistro space north of Kellogg and across from Chick-fil-A. A Raising Cane's representative says construction should begin in December, with doors opening in the summer or fall next year.
Embattled plane maker Boeing is said to be exploring the sale of some parts of its space business. That's according to the Wall Street Journal. The Virginia-based defense and aerospace giant is said to be exploring a move to offload its Starliner spacecraft and its unit supporting the International Space Station. That's according to the report, which cites people familiar with the matter. Now, Boeing is reportedly not considering the sale of its units building NASA's space launch system, according to the report. The program includes massive rockets the company has contracted to build for NASA for future lunar exploration. The company says Boeing doesn't comment on market rumors or speculation. And that's local business news this morning from the Wichita Business Journal. And Ted, you were talking about Raising Cane a minute ago. When we went to, my family went to St. Louis this past summer, we stopped in Kansas City and ate at one of those places.
Oh, okay.
And I wasn't terribly impressed, but it's kind of popular right now around the country. Raising Cane.
Remember when a year or two ago somebody came out and said there were going to be 25 Jack-in-the-Boxes coming to Wichita within the next 2 to 3 years?
Yeah, that happened.
I sure haven't seen that manifested.
No.
Are you complaining about that?
No, I'm just saying. Sometimes places say they're going to come here and it just doesn't happen. Especially we're going to have 25 Jack in the Box locations in Wichita. Really?
Okay.
I'm not sure there's a need for that.
Really?
Or a want.
Today is National Calzone Day.
Oh, I had a calzone Wednesday night at the Bob and Luigi's.
Take the delicious toppings and cheese and pizza and tuck it up right into a warm garlic and crispy package.
Now that's what we need 25 more of, is Bob and Luigi.
Yeah, couple, or at least 3 or 4 more. At least.
Yeah.
National Calzone Day. Isn't that the line from Godfather? Leave the gun, take the calzone. Isn't that?
Well, that's you got cannoli. The first couple letters right.
Yeah.
What was it? Cannoli. Okay. I knew it started with a C, and I knew it was Italian, so I was close enough. All right. So that you had a good one, huh? A good calzone.
Oh, it was tremendous.
Oh, good
it was really, really good.
Glad to hear it.
Did you get the Luigi? That's a really good one.
No, I made my own.
Okay, cool.
All right.
And the calzone at Grimaldi's is also insane. So good.
Ted, you need to go on a little calzone tour, just take people around.
With I
you.
Do.
That'd be fun. All right, coming up here at the 8 o'clock hour, stay with us, Steve and Ted, this morning. We have the latest on a deadly shooting involving teenagers in East Wichita overnight.
Ted has sports on the way with our special guest.
Yeah, our usual Friday morning live visit with Mitch Holtis, the play-by-play voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, for about 15 minutes out.
Plus entertainment news, it's called The Blur.
Yeah, our first blur of the month and here in November, so we'll get you all your entertainment news heading into the weekend, coming up at 8:35 this morning.
And we have traffic and your weekend weather in the 8 o'clock hour with Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.